We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We were in the second part of verse 1, but to review it, for it's been several weeks between lessons, we have heavenly witnesses, it says. Let's read the whole verse. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we have heavenly witnesses. So he's saying we should be careful to lay aside any cares of this life, any discouragements, and the sin that easily entangles us. We are at war and must always be on guard against the flesh, the world, and demonic powers. One must not excuse sin or accept it as normal, for many have become false Christians, lukewarm and worldly, that ultimately ends in spiritual damnation. When ministers and people excuse sin instead of giving people the word of God and telling them how to overcome it, they preach and maintain a false grace. They say, and you hear this saying all the time, it's all grace, it's all grace. It is no such teaching in Scripture. That's a one-sided gospel that is not the gospel. People think they're honoring God, and Apostle Paul said they dishonor God using these terms. They pervert Scripture. Man is accountable and responsible for what grace is given him. Man is accountable to maintain his place in God. It is not once saved, always saved. It is not that grace will find a way for us and override everything. This is a doctrine of demons that has sent millions to hell and will send millions more to hell. People need to read the whole of Scripture and not do as Peter said. They torture and stretch the truth as they do all Scripture, but he said to their own condemnation. So he warns what happens to people who excuse their sins. Scripture never does. It says repent and deal with it. We'll see as in the Scriptures, you're to sin no more, it says, you who sin. So those who think that God's grace will take care of everything, they have been lied to by a false grace and by a big bad demon who's ultimately going to send them to hell by getting them to believe these lies. So we have to understand that we are continually at warfare in this life that we're living in, that to reject Christ, you do not have to do this verbally. See, most people think to reject Christ means to go into Islam or Hinduism or some other New Age religion and take up another god. No, the main way people reject Christ is people who are still saying, Lord, Lord, they reject him, the Scripture says, by their fruits and works, they deny him. Paul made it very plain, and we'll get to those Scriptures later. So most reject Christ by their actions, not by their lip service. Their fruits and works prove that they are disloyal to God. Heard many people over the 50 years I've been in this that will try to tell me, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm just not following the Lord right now. I said, then you're a backslider, you're on your way to hell. It upsets them. It's meant to. It's meant to disturb them because they're believing a lie. And the longer they believe this lie, they've removed themselves from God's protection and grace, and they can die at will by the providences of and circumstances of nature that even God himself often does not intervene with. People die by chance who are not in the covenant. People die by accident. God sees fit not to intervene one way or the other. That's the problem with those who are not following the Lord. Those who follow the Lord, these things cannot come upon them without God's consent, without God's permission. And we need to understand this, that many people have a false faith, a false hope, a false peace that's sending them to the lake of fire ultimately. So it's by the fruits and works the lifestyle, the character that proves whether the person is in the Lord or not. Remember, all of those multi-millions who will say, Lord, Lord, they believe mentally. They gave lip service that Jesus was the Son of God. They had no question about this. And yet Jesus said, you are cursed of my Father, you who work lawlessness. Notice he didn't say, you believe in me. See, it didn't amount out to nothing here. As Jesus himself told the disciples, why call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do what I tell you to do? The word do means to work out, to act on God's word. And as the Lord said, if you hear my words and you don't do them, then you are building on sand. And ultimately, the flood and the wind's going to destroy that house. It means this person's not going to make it into heaven. They've got false Christianity is what it means. So this is what we're seeing in this verse. We could liken it to repenting. When he says here, lay aside every hindrance, anything that gets in the way. And so we could say it's repenting, a stopping of the sin, the action. As Paul said, you who sin, speaking to some of the Corinthians on various issues, he said, you who sin, he means you who are practicing sin now, sin no more. These were the ones he questioned later when he didn't see instant repentance. He said, perhaps you've been disqualified. The word, as we've said, is only used four times, and each time it means to be cast aside from the Lord. Doesn't mean to be put on the shelf. It means to be rejected by Christ and counted as a worthless servant. That's what it means, to forfeit grace and to forfeit Christ. Well, I've had many people say, well, my preachers I know just don't preach that. That's because they're preaching a false gospel. That's the times we live in. They want your money. They want your influence. They've got ears that are listening to what you want to hear instead of telling you what the Word of God tells people who live in a sinful world and what the dangers are and what they must do not to enter in to the final wrath of God. Okay, so we see that many of these people, because they confess their sins, oh, this is very popular, many people, they will acknowledge they sin. They don't stop sinning. They don't repent. They don't get the grace of God and help to refuse sin and not allow it to rule over them. For you who are under grace, Paul says, sin shall not rule you. But the ones confessing this, they're still under the slavery of sin. They confess these very scriptures while they're still in sin. As the Apostle Peter said, they promise, the false teachers, they promise liberty with this false grace, this false belief. He said, why they are themselves under the slavery and bondage of sin. See, what they preach don't work for them because they don't practice it. They don't put it into action. This is why the Apostle James said, this mental assent faith, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe in the teachers of Christianity. He said, can this save you? It was a rhetorical question. No. And then he said, you have to do these things. You have to obey Christ. You have to put your faith into action. As long as it stays inactive, passive in your head, it has no effect whatsoever. It will lead you to hell. It's only as it becomes active. It's the only proof that all the apostles and Jesus gave of a person being loyal to him was to keep his words, not just to believe his words. The belief he talked about was a belief that obeyed. The 50-some times that believe and believing is used in the Gospel of John, that's what the word means. It was not a mere mental assent belief. Oh, I believe Jesus, Son of God. Well, devils believe it and tremble. It was a belief that led to a lifestyle change. It was a belief that led the person to obey and keep the words of Christ and not follow the impulses of the corrupt nature. So the plain answer was, if you don't obey, if you don't bear fruit, if you don't have spiritual works, then you are not a Christian. Doesn't matter what you confess. Doesn't matter what your past experiences was. Doesn't matter whether angels danced around you four times a day. It proves nothing. All of these people are on their way to hell because he said they did not do the work and the words of my Father. Do, that means to obey, and work, produce something. So most of Christianity, false Christianity, of the 2 billion people who claim it, out of 7.5 billion people, 99% of these people are false Christians. And they're going to be very surprised when they say, but Lord, Lord. They will be enlightened in a moment of time, and then they will become speechless. They'll know there is no answer. They will see their guilt. They will see God's justice in consigning them to the lake of fire. So we have to run, it says. Let us run. It's a race, a spiritual race, that if we do not make it to the finish line, we do not make it into heaven, is what he's talking about. So this faith is active. It means it produces something. It's not stagnant. This is real faith, not just mental assent. Mental assent, positive thinking, is good if it's based on scriptural truths. But if sin is involved and the person has not followed the Lord and been led of the Spirit, he has a dead faith, a worthless faith. James called it vain. It meant empty and dead. He called these people fools. Isn't it interesting? He meant no words. And right after he says this about three times, you know, faith without works is dead. He said, you fools. And then he goes on and says, not many of you should become teachers. See, these were the people who were teaching people they could have mental assent faith. Just confess Jesus as Lord and believe and you'll be saved. These are false gospels. A partial gospel is a false gospel. That's why these same people stay where they're at for 20 or 30 years. They know nothing spiritually. They have no spiritual life, and yet they run to church. They play their church game. They talk about how wonderful Jesus is, and they sing hymns. They give a little money, and they think that's okay. These are false Christians, and the masses of people in America and Europe fall in to this category. Okay? So now look at the first words. People forget sometimes. That's recorded. The first words, when Jesus came down after being tested by the devil for 40, the first thing he did in his public ministry, the scripture says, verse 15 of Mark chapter 1, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. If you notice that he did not say believe and repent. See, many people believe and confess. And people say, well, God just accepts you. No, he doesn't. If you're living in gross sin, you cannot continue in it and be a Christian. I don't care who you are. See, many people have never come out of their sins, yet they confess Jesus as Lord. They believe they're Christians because they said the little sinner's prayer, because they read a false tract, and there's millions of them out there, that you only have to believe five scriptures to be saved. That's nonsense, foolishness, because it does not rightly handle the Word of God. It does not give people the whole picture. They take one and two pieces out of 1,000 portions of a puzzle, and they make that the picture. Well, you cannot get a full picture of a puzzle with two and three pieces. And that's what's happened. They think all these other scriptures aren't important. That's why they distort, as the Apostle Peter said, they twist and torture scripture to their own damnation. That's what happens when people tamper with God's word and try to make it into the denominational slant or into the teaching or doctrine that they think's important. I've heard many people say, well, the only thing's important is that you are saved. No, that is not. You've got a false gospel. You haven't understood that. You need to be enlightened. So any believing and confessing that does not include repentance, and that's a practical putting away, putting off gross sin, is a false gospel that millions believe today, and again, to their spiritual destruction. These are going to be the multi-millions who say, Lord, Lord, who believe he's Lord, who believe the simple teaching that Jesus died on the cross and resurrected, and they confess him as Lord. But they do not do the will of Christ. They do not keep his commandments. They are not led of his spirit. Therefore, it is a dead confession. It is a false form of Christianity. It is like the man who repeatedly tells his wife that he loves her as he continues in his adulterous affair. It is a false, dead love that is nothing but empty words, because the love of this type, even, there has to be loyalty and faithfulness. If loyalty and faithfulness is not present, it's merely a lying lip service. So one must run, he uses that because we're in the race, with endurance, steadfastness, it means not being turned out of the way, perseverance. Perseverance means to be persistent in an action, even though there is much opposition. Often people, as examples, think of a salmon that go upstream. They constantly are going against the current. They have to get back to the original stream where they were born to lay their eggs. And the whole way, they are in opposition against the current. And then when they get near their streams, then the birds come after them and the bears come after them, because they often can get in a weakened state. But their goal is to reach the end where they were born and lay their eggs and fertilize them. And then their life ends and it has been accomplished. They have had the next generation. And so the Christian is to persevere consistently against the flesh, the corrupt nature, the world systems that are opposed to righteousness and true Christianity, and to demonic forces that will set them up and try to tempt them and lead them away from their steadfastness in the Lord. So those who don't endure will not make it to heaven. Jesus said, in patience, and the word is endurance, you keep your souls. If you lose patience and endurance, you lose your soul. And so he warns us in the gospel and in the book of Revelation. It's those who endure to the end that will be saved. Those who give up halfway, those who follow the Lord for many years and then turn away because of the cares of the life, the pleasures of this world or other sins, they forfeit all grace. And not only do they forfeit the grace that was given, they will be greatly judged more severely for trampling the grace and the blood of Christ. There's a danger. God can be gracious to whom he will be gracious. But if people do not respond properly, he stores up great wrath for them at the day of judgment. Those, as Peter said, it's better that they'd never known the Lord than to turn from the holy commandment. To turn from Christ and the gospel is better than never been saved. Because their punishment, see, that's justice. Grace can be given. But if grace is not responded to, woe to that person. And Hebrews has been warning those that are being tempted to go away what the consequences will be if they do it. So Jesus said that the one who is patient to the end keeps his soul. It means it keeps him saved is what it means. Faith can only endure if sin is laid aside. Otherwise, loyalty is false. Therefore, the multitude who believe in their mind, and their dead spirit, that they're okay. I've heard people tell me, I don't know why the Lord just don't take me. And I'm sitting there thinking, because you'll go straight to hell. You're a wicked person. You've not repented somehow. And they're the same people who say, oh, I'm going to make God tell me why I had to live this way. And he's going to say, because you were a wicked sinner, and here's your end. That's what he's going to tell these deceived, wicked souls. The wicked are given over to lying spirits. They'll believe a lie and be damned. They, in the scripture says, will be cursing and bitterness. Not only will they be cursing and bitter in hell, they will see the end result of how they lived, and they will acknowledge through their weeping and gnashing of teeth, they got just what they deserved. See, that's the, there'll be no lying with people in hell. The devil can't deceive them there. The corrupt nature cannot lie to them. There'll be no deception there. They'll know the truth, and that's the horror. The truth will come into reality. So we're seeing this. There must be a practicing. Paul said obeying righteousness is the person that's in grace. The greasy gracers and the ultra-Calvinistic, they don't like that scripture. He said obeying righteousness, practical holiness. And why did Jesus say his father would curse most of the professing Christians? Because you practice lawlessness. You make it a way of life, and yet you still say, Lord, Lord. So it's evil and sin that they're in. So there is no continual repentance. There is no change of heart. They did not do what the Apostle Paul said. You who sin, sin no more. Stop sinning. He even told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. He didn't say, oh, you're forgiven. Now go ahead and live back in adultery. It don't matter because you have God's love and grace. Sounds like a devil talking. See, many false Christs out there trying to imitate God. They come in his name. As the apostle said, the angels of light, that the devil himself. Why, how has he done this? 99% of all the pulpits in America have the minister of Satan there ministering to the masses. That's how he does it. He does it in the name of religion. He does it in the name of God. And some of them even use the name of Christ. They come, and he called them false Christ. He said, they will come in my name, and many will believe them. Yet when he gives them the truth, and the apostolic teachers did, very few believe what they were telling them, okay? And that's why Jesus could say, few there be that will find it. Find what? The difficult path, the narrow path that leads to life. He said it's difficult and hard. He didn't say it was impossible. It was God's will was to give the kingdom to everybody. But they have a pilgrimage. They have a probation. They have a warfare that they must prove their loyalty in this life for God to give them eternal life. This is the testing ground. And he gives the Christian all things that he needs to be an overcomer. So he is without excuse if he does not use the graces and the virtues and the armament that the Lord gives him. But if he doesn't use it, it's useless. Oh, it's all grace. When I hear people say this, I immediately say, this is a person speaking by a demon because they don't know scripture. No, there's always, always, there's always a divine side and the human side. And that's why most of the epistles are commandments, encouragements, admonishments for the Christian to practice what the scripture says, or he will forfeit Christianity. That's what it sums up to. And you don't hear the preachers emphasizing that because they don't want to disturb the poor little flock. Oh, well, we don't want to scare them. What do you think they're going to be in hell? Terrorized for eternity because they believed lies and were damned. So we are to run a race. We are to fight a warfare. We are to live this probation for God. I've told people we're under probation. Oh, no, it's all grace. Immediately, my mind says, a false shepherd, a person inspired by demons. Oh, they'll quote scripture, and they know a lot of scripture, but they miss the simplicity because the Holy Spirit keeps them from the truth. He sends lying spirits to false shepherds. That's why you don't find much witness in the New Covenant of any false teacher or minister coming to the Lord. Doesn't say they can't. I'm just telling you don't find any examples. Isn't that interesting? See, because of all the blood that's on the hand. For the years, each year as they go, they deceive multitudes more and help them onto Broadway of destruction. And God will hold them accountable for every soul. They will die in their sins, as Ezekiel was told by God. He said, you will warn them. And if you don't warn them, they will die in their sins. But I will require their blood at your hands. See, they get what they deserve, justice. But if you had gone to them and you'd given my truth, I could have extended grace and they may have repented. As Jesus said, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented. And he went down there and preached and did the miracles he did throughout Judea. But see, God did not extend that covenant. And these people were guilty and held accountable, justly so, for their evil. But as he said, these false teachers, they influence people to evil as good teachers and ministers influence people toward godliness. If your teacher and minister does not emphasize holiness and godliness as a practical lifestyle, he is a messenger of the devil. I don't care how smooth he is. I don't care how nice he is and how pleasant he is. He's false. He's false before God. He should not be a teacher. He should get saved is what actually should happen. Okay, moving on verse 2. In the previous verse, not only do we run this race that is set before us in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, putting our focus on Jesus, the author and completer, that's what perfecter means, of faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are to fix by our faith and trust our spiritual eyes on Jesus. Remember the Laodiceans, their eyes were blinded. See, their spiritual eyes were put out because of their sins. They had lost their spiritual sight. Okay, so the apostle is telling us, set your eyes, your spiritual focus on Jesus. To follow him, to obey him is what it means. He is the source and the goal of this race we're running. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, not only of the Christian faith, of the individual. We can only have faith and trust as we are led of him, as we obey him, as we follow his instructions to put on the whole armor, to not allow sin to hold on to us. To not get caught up in the cares of this life, the pleasures of this life. See, many of these things at first do not appear to be bad. But the cares of this life for the Christian can send you to hell just as easily as the practicing fornicator, an adulteress, the thief, and a murderer. The end is going to be hell for all of them. Matter of degree. And I don't think the person in hell, whatever his punishment is, it's going to be measuring it with anybody else. He's not going to be that interested. But he's going to get just what he deserved. Every idle word, every sin, everything he's ever committed, God's holy justice will see that it's measured in true revenge and wrath. And this is what Paul said, I'll do anything to attain to the resurrection of the just. He understood the wrath of God, and he did not want to enter into that. And he knew there was a possibility that he himself could fall away if he did not stay in God's grace and obedience and carry out God's will for him that was made plain to him. He said, a curse on me. And it would have been if I do not proclaim the gospel. He knew what was committed to him, and he knew the price he had to pay for the privileges of his apostolic calling. So we see that Jesus is the beginning and end. He's the all in all for the Christian. And so he's saying he's made everything possible by his work, by his atonement. He's given everything that we need to live godly in this present age. This is what Titus and the Apostle Paul and Peter tell us. We've been given everything, all these promises, that we can live godly in the present life. If you do not live godly and holy and obedient in the present life, you will not make it to heaven. I don't care how much scripture you know. I don't care how much money you give. I don't care how active you are in your church. You will go to hell. Multitudes going to church 2 or 3 times a week are on their way to hell. They will sacrifice and do many things, but they will not obey the Lord in their personal life. Therefore, they're false Christians. Okay? So we are to exercise our faith, our works, our obedience by looking to him. It means to look to Christ and the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of the Father to guide us, to lead us. As the apostle said, these are the children of God, those who are led of the Spirit. It doesn't say those who had a one-time experience, those who were baptized, those who go to church. Oh, that's wonderful and nice if there's been a heart change. It has to be continual. The looking is in the continual state. We are running a race. We did not run the race. Many people will say, oh, I used to laugh in their face and make them mad. I read the end of the book and we won. As it didn't say you won. It says those who loved not their lives to the end. Those who gave up their life in this life, they're the ones who will win. Not people like you, and I've said this to them, who live for pleasures and selfishness. You believe in a false gospel. You are on your way to hell. You don't make friends that way. But those people will be warned, and those very words will judge them at judgment day if they do not repent and turn to the Lord. We have not overcome, as the false teachers say. We are in the process of overcoming. We have overcome to the state we are still in the Lord. It's still in the present tense. And it must be in the continual. But as Jesus said to the 7 churches, and that covers all Christianity and all Christians of all ages, he who overcomes. Not one time to these 7 churches did he say they did overcome. It's interesting. He encouraged them to overcome to the end. That negates any people teaching we have overcome and we have nothing to worry about. We're saved by grace and it's all done. It's a lie that Satan propagates very well because he's got millions who believe this. Okay. So we must run by faith. Scriptures, Paul uses running, walking, living, all in connection with faith. They are all in the continuance state. There is no one-time experience. There is no irresistible grace that once you say this little thing and get your ticket, it's a downhill ride. It's a lie. It's a false peace. It's a false gospel. And those who believe it get what they deserve. They're not poor sinners. You never find one scripture that says, oh, the poor sinner. No, it says the wicked sinner deserves God's wrath. That's what the scripture says as a whole. And he wants people to turn and repent so he does not have to put them in that state. Okay? It's not God's will that any perish, but everybody come to the knowledge of the truth. He ends the very book of Revelations with, whosoever will can come. He didn't say you had to be predestined. He didn't say you had to be elected. That refers to the church as a whole. and God's methods and plans. Never once does it refer to an individual. The false lying shepherds that teach people. And I've had people come to me and say, well, from what I heard, you're either predestined to heaven or hell. So since I don't know which one, I might as well live it up, and I have a 50-50 chance that God may have selected me anyway. See, that's what false teachers do. And that's why many of them cannot be saved. I believe they blasphemed the Holy Spirit when they damned people's souls to hell and encouraged them on their way. Okay? So we are given all weapons and grace to do what he requires to run this race. Yet it is we who have to bear fruit. It is we who will be cut off if we do not. Isn't it interesting? The vine gives the life that's needed. The branch must receive it. It has the ability as an individual to stop and say, I don't want to do this no more. I love the pleasures of sin. Or it's too difficult and I just don't want to fight this. And when they decide that, the life of Christ stops moving in them. And then they are withered, fruitless. They cannot bring forth any spiritual life because Christ is not moving in them anymore. And then their end is to be cut off and burned. A symbol, the wicked being cut off as dead branches and a fire is to be made out of them. Okay. So only false shepherds guarantee heaven for those who begin the race and don't have to finish it. So they're false shepherds who do this. The notion, though, nullifies all of Scripture, old and new. Christ endured all suffering and did the will of God by looking with joy at what he would accomplish for God's will and pleasure. Not only did he delight to please the Father and do his will, he saw the end result that multitudes could come and be children of God by the sacrifice and the offering of his life. He gained this goal and ultimately got the full power with God, his full glory, use of his full divinity restored to him, and he started a family of God's children and grace on these children and followers that could stay with him forever. And he gives the power to those who live in the present life, his pilgrims, his servants, his ambassadors, to fight this warfare and to overcome. Let's go ahead and take a break here.